I lift my head and see the bright beige band of Quadra Island's low tide beach. You're doing great, Christine yells. She's waving her paddle. You're almost there. Barry remains silent. He knows that almost there is the worst part of every swim.
In the icy waters off the coast of British Columbia, Carrie Saxifrage swims the five-mile stretch between Cortese and Quadra Islands. This is the Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown. This podcast is curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. We bring you pieces each week about the intersection of people and place. Up now, The Big Swim by Carrie Saxifrage and produced by Steve Wadhams for the CBC's Out Front.
I am pulling myself through a tunnel of silk. A billion microscopic bubbles burst against my skin. Suspended in water, I feel like I'm flying. The sensation is known as water feel. It's the reason why swimmers like me don't wear wetsuits or even swimsuits. But for this swim, the big swim, I've made compromises. I have sleeves to protect my slender arms and a neoprene swim cap. I have greased my body with lanolin. With my helmet-like cap, shiny black arm warmers, and my glistening naked body, I look sublimely ridiculous, like a dominatrix who dropped her boots and crop into the sea and now swims after them. The Big Swim. Cortese Island to Quadra Island in the inner sea between Vancouver Island and the mainland of British Columbia. 5 miles as the crow flies. And the water is cold. 18, maybe 19 degrees. I'm an awkward land creature, flailing and rudderless in a big cold sea. My partner Barry is close by in a yellow kayak. He is the mother bird. I swim under his protective wing. I depend on him utterly. It's the only time in our life together that I feel such pure submission and humble gratitude. I reach a state of grace, a zone of delicious movement and blessed water feel. I pop my head up and look around. I haven't gone very far. I see distant islands, gigantic clouds, the endless reach of sea shine, and far away, slanting gray columns of rain. A Coast Guard boat approaches. I can smell the thin film of exhaust spreading across the water's surface. I give the sea mounties a jaunty thumbs up. Is she okay? One shouts, politely. Barry will make them go away. She's doing great, he says, and I plow back in. Wells of energy lift and drop me. Lift and drop. The states of grace arrive and they disappear. When they arrive, I feel my spirit and my body are moving together. When they disappear, I'm left with my skinny arms and cold pressing into my kidneys, going for my core. Reach and pull. reach and pull, reach and pull. I raise my head again. My friend Christine, who came along for the fun of kayaking, shouts, "You're 2 miles in by my chart." I wave and put my head back down. Distance is a double-edged sword. 2 miles in, that's good. But 3 miles to go? I'm less than halfway across. Am I half spent? Can I do this? Why would I do this? What is the point of this? Maybe the answer lies in a single word. Patrimony. Boston, Massachusetts, 1966. The Boston Marathon. I'm 7, in my beige fake fur coat with red polyester mittens. We've been standing in the cold for hours. I'm near tears. A stout, short man with a comb-over and burly legs chugs up Heartbreak Hill. He looks awful. White spittle is clinging to his blue lips. Explosive puffs of exhalation. He's clearly in pain. He looks like he's going to ignore us, despite our cheers. And he mutters from the side of his mouth, "Get me some hooch." "What's hooch?" I ask. "Alcohol," my mom says, carefully neutral. We stand there in the sleet, stunned. I have never seen my father drink alcohol, ever. He's a family doctor, a church elder. We get the hooch. He survives the marathon, and I'm left in childhood confusion. Why does he do this horrible thing every single year? Acts of endurance seem pointless in the absence of pleasure. After all, what is there to prove? Reach, pull, reach, pull. I tell myself, I have nothing to prove. Reach, pull, the water feel, pull, the swim reach, dance, pull, the wild sea, reach, they outweigh the sensation of the cold. I'm propelled through the water by anxiety. A dark and desperate force, a combination of untied ends and misspoken words. Reach. The sum of my malfeasance in life, churning through my body. Reach. I'm a devil shedding evil in cool, bubbly waters. Sometimes I'm fueled by romance, making eye contact with dolphins and seals, seeing my curiosity in their eyes. I'm nearly an ocean mammal. I can feel the point in my belly where my human body ends and my dolphin body begins. But actually, I'm human, with stick-like arms, swimming miles from land. Reach and pull, reach and pull, reach and pull. I raise my head again. There are little circles in the water all around me. The rain makes a small chirping sound. Cricket rain, Barry says. Our eyes meet and we smile. I put my head down again. The cold is seeping deeper into me. I tolerate. I endure. Reach, pull, reach, pull, reach, pull. And still, I find those states of grace. Reach, pull, reach, pull, reach, pull. I lift my head and see the bright beige band of Quadra Islands, low tide beach. You're doing great, Christine yells. She's waving her paddle. You're almost there. Barry remains silent. He knows that almost there is the worst part of every swim. Almost there cuts you off from timeless grace. Time and distance, now finite, become intolerable. I ask Barry for a mask and snorkel. Perhaps I'll see other life to distract me. Luminous domes of moon jellies, floating past like UFOs. Lion's mane jellyfish with shock-inducing stings, thick rust-red ruffles flowing out from dense flowery bodies. Perhaps I'll see deep silver flashes of salmon, or schools of small round-bellied perch, or a squid a foot long will focus its eye on me, intent with regard. But there is nothing to see but dark green fading into brown. I am alone.
Pull out. Pull out.
I put my head down. I sputter on.
Pull out.
Now, for the first time, I am not dancing. I am marching.
Pull out.
I am willing, after all, to call upon some of my father's grim determination.
Pull out.
Finally, the colors change. Green, orange, yellow, purple, gold, crimson. The brightest, most beautiful seaweed I have ever seen. And then I am there. 3 hours and 40 minutes. The big swim is over. I crawl onto the beach. Pebbles have stuck to the lanolin I coated myself with. I am pebble woman, aggregate woman. My pale blue skin is speckled with seaweed. I now know why I swim. I love the physical experience of life, the way my body meets the world. When effort and grace are required, my body and my spirit join together. When it happens in a beautiful place, I experience the place in a different way. I feel like I belong to the vast cold world where the brilliant seaweed banners wave. For moments on end, I am a perfect creature. And it is such a beautiful world.
The Big Swim is by Carrie Saxifrage and produced by Steve Wadhams for the CBC's Out Front. To hear more pieces like this one, visit the Public Radio Exchange at prx.org. Support for this podcast is provided by the Nature Conservancy, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week.